on it are red and green. We also had a Christmas tree brought in, and it's now standing down in the front of the control center. Looks as if it stands about 6 feet tall, and it's decorated with lights and tinsel and with a big blue ornament up on top.
Apollo 8, Houston.
Go ahead, Houston.
Okay, the computer is yours. And I guess we have an IMU alignment and a P-23 on the schedule.
Okay, thank you. We'll do an IMU alignment coming up. CM and Block.
Roger.
We can find some stars here before we do the
D-52. All right, and we've got a couple of words for you. Jack's been watching you since LOI, and he has a few words he wants to give you.
Who has?
Skyport Jack here, and we've got some good words here that originated at the Cape with a bunch of friends of yours. And it's sort of in a paraphrase of a poem that you're probably familiar with. Do you read me out, Apollo 8?
You're loud and clear, Jack.
Okay, 'twas the night before Christmas and way out in space. The Apollo 8 crew had just won the moon race. The headsets were hung by the consoles with care in hopes that Chris Kraft soon would be there. Now, Frank Borman was nestled all snug in his bed, while visions of rest mats danced in his head. And Jim Lovell in his couch and Anders in the bay were racking their brains over a computer display. When out of the disky there rose such a clatter, Frank sprang from his bed to see what was the matter. Away to the sextant he flew like a flash to make sure they weren't going to crash. The light on the breast of the moon's jagged crust gave a luster of green cheese to the gray lunar dust. When what to his wondering eyes should appear but a Burma shave sign saying Kilroy was here. But Frank was no fool, he knew pretty quick that they had been first, this must be a trick. More rapid than rockets, his curses they came, he turned to his crewmen and called them a name. Now Lovell, now Anders, now don't think I'd fall for that old joke you've written up on the wall. They spoke not a word but grinning like elves, and laughed at their joke in spite of themselves. Frank sprang to his couch. To the ship gave a thrust, and away they all flew past the gray lunar dust. But we heard them explain ere they flew round the moon, Merry Christmas to Earth. We'll be back there real soon. Great job, gang.
Thank you very much. That's a very good poem. But in order to win the race, you got to end up on the carriers.
We'll see you there.
Hey, Jack, you really got Bill trained. Okay.
I certainly hope so. You did pretty well, Jim. You must have talked on the way out there.
Mm-hmm.
That rendition of The Night Before Christmas was read up to the crew by astronaut Harrison Schmidt, Jack Schmidt, who worked with Lovell quite extensively prior to the mission in going over the lunar sightings and the photography that he would do in lunar orbit. At 90 hours, 3 minutes into the flight, this is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control, Houston, at 90 hours, 18 minutes. Our displays here in Mission Control are now beginning to show the effects of that trans-Earth injection maneuver. We show an altitude above the moon at this time of 2,802 nautical miles. Our spacecraft velocity is 6,050 feet per second and slowing. And our weight following that maneuver is now 32,180 pounds. On board the spacecraft at the present time, the crew is finishing up some last-minute activities connected with onboard navigation, and then they plan to get a little bit of rest. Frank Borman is scheduled to be in a sleep period at this time, and we've had some indications from the crew that Lovell and Anders also hope to get a little bit of rest as soon as possible. We have some brief conversations with the crew that we've recorded since our previous report. We'll play those back for you now and then stand by briefly for any live communications with the spacecraft.
Houston, this is Apollo 8.
Go ahead.
Roger, we got an alignment with your new refs, Matt. Now, what's the on the program here? You want us a P-23 and then what?
Looks like some sleep's coming up.
That's what I wanted you to say. We used up the gimbal angles of 10 and 45 with the this refs map, right?
That's affirmative.
Okay.
Follow 8, Houston.
Go ahead, Houston, Apollo 8.
All right. Notice that you're starting on your P-23, which is the last real scheduled activity. Initial tracking looks like the initial mid-course may be less than the 4 foot per second on the first guess. And we've looked at your burn data. It's all just as smooth as you said. Everything on there looked real nominal. Systems now look good. Looks like in the BTC attitude, we should be able to switch omnis for you if you'd like to do that. We were having good success with predicting on the way out where to switch the antennas, and if it'll help any, we can do that on the way back in.
That'd be nice if you could do it, but we'll keep one man at the shop to watch the gimbal angles, but if you could switch the omnis, it should save us a lot of problems.
Okay, we'll do that. When you get in the PTC attitude, we'll let you know when we're taking command of the omni antenna switching.
Okay. Just be careful what you do with the tape recorder. Bill's a little sensitive about that.
All right. We were listening to the tape dumps, and looks like Bill gets a Happy New Year after all.
A Happy New Year? How come, kid? Is that an in-joke?
No, we got that off of his tape dump. He and Jim were discussing that one.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This is Apollo Control, Houston, at 90 hours, 50 minutes into the flight of Apollo 8. At the present time, our spacecraft is at an altitude above the moon of 4,504 nautical miles and traveling at a speed of 5,645 feet per second. We've heard very little from the crew since our last report. We do have a couple of brief exchanges on tape. We'll play those back for you and then stand by for any conversation.
Houston, are you getting all this data from B-23? Houston, Apollo 8.
Go ahead, Apollo 8.
We want to know if you're getting the data from B-23.
That's affirmative.
Okay.
This is Apollo Control. We're expecting capsule communicator Ken Mattingly to put in a call to the crew shortly. While we wait for that, we'll pass along some information that we've been requested to gather, and also some additional information on the results of that trans-Earth injection maneuver. The trans-Earth injection burn occurred on time. Lasted for 3 minutes and 23 seconds. We had originally estimated that it would last about 3 minutes 18 seconds. We obtained almost precisely the amount of velocity change from that burn that had been planned. The figure that we have at this point is a velocity change of 3,522.8 feet per second. We'd been shooting for 3,522.3 feet per second. So we would only have been off about 5/10 of a foot per second. As a result of that maneuver, our current figure is that splash will occur in the mid-Pacific at 147 hours, 4 minutes, 59 seconds. That's a very precise figure, and I doubt that it will continue to hold true through the coast phase and trajectory analysis that will be done en route back to Earth, and we do anticipate that figure will change. Coming up at 100 hours, 47 minutes, 47 seconds ground elapsed time, we'll be going through the change in the sphere of influence. This will be the point at which the moon's gravity ceases to be the dominant influence on the spacecraft. That will also be the point at which the spacecraft will reach its minimum inertial velocity and then start to accelerate toward Earth. This will occur at an altitude above the moon of 33,821 nautical miles, and at that point we'll be 175,528 miles from Earth. The velocity at that point will be 4,839 feet per second with respect to the moon, and it will be 4,176 feet per second with respect to Earth. We also were requested to pass along some figures on altitude and velocity at the beginning of the trans-Earth injection maneuver and at the end of that maneuver. At the beginning of the maneuver, our velocity was about 5,350 feet per second, and following the maneuver, our velocity was 8,841 feet per second. Our altitude at the beginning of the trans-Earth injection maneuver was 60 nautical miles above the surface of the moon, and at the conclusion of that maneuver, 3 minutes and 23 seconds later, it was 66.5 nautical miles. At the present time, our altitude above the moon is 4,876 nautical miles, and our velocity is 5,587 feet per second and continuing to decrease very gradually.
Houston,
We are still anticipating sometime in the near future a call to the crew, and we'll pick back up again when that comes through. This is Apollo Control at 90 hours, 58 minutes into the flight of Apollo 8. This is Apollo Control at 91 hours, 22 minutes. Since our last report, we've had a couple of brief conversations with the crew. They indicated that they were very tired and had perhaps gotten about 2 hours of sleep prior to the trans-earth injection maneuver. Frank Borman advised that he and Jim Lovell were going to attempt to get some sleep shortly, and that Bill Anders would stand watch while they were getting some sleep, and then when one of them awoke, Bill would get some sleep. We'll play back that tape for you, and then stand by as capsule communicator puts in a call to the crew.
Houston, Apollo 8.
Go ahead, Apollo 8.
Houston, Apollo 8.
Go ahead, Apollo 8.
Hey, Ken, we've about run out of gas here on this next set of stars. Would you ask your people to be especially alert there and watching the systems tonight?
Sure will, Frank.
Okay, it's maneuver to pitch 10 and yaw 45.
Roger. I have, let's see, we've got a hydrogen purge line heater that ought to come on about 91.40 and an oxygen-hydrogen fuel cell purge for 92 hours.
Okay, will you call us about those, please?
I sure will. And let's see, we just wanted to let you know we've got a real good battery charge going here this time. It looks like it looks just like the ones in the book. And I'd like to get a battery C voltage for you shut down. And a sleep report on what you did in the in lunar orbit and your plans for the next couple hours.
Okay. 3.7 volts on battery C.
Roger, 3.7 volts.
We only got about 2 hours sleep today, max, Ken. We're going to now, Bill's going to stay up for a while, Jim and I are going to sack out, and then we're going to try to rotate a short sleep cycles until we can get back to the normal one.
Roger. Sounds like a good idea. And ECOM's on the ground, tell us that the flying ECOM can go ahead and put his hydrogen purge line heater on, and we'll get ready for a fuel cell.
Thank you. He can't turn on his radio. There he goes. I hope that won't disappoint anybody too much if we knock off those last two stars, but Jim is just in a daze, and so am I.
All right. No sweat.
Thank you.
Apollo 8, one of the things we'd like to have before you shut down also is VERP 64 so we can watch the pointing angles.
Roger.
Hey, Frank, you might be interested. They're having some trouble with the medic's P2.
Huh?
The medic can't clean out their P2.
Oh, is that right? It's been so busy.
Oh, yeah, it's worn the thing out at the bearings.
Hey, Ken, if you tell the people if you see anything getting close to gimbal lock, to be sure and whistle too, will you?
We sure will, Frank. You'll have one of you, make sure one of you keeps your comm carrier on.
That's right, we'll keep one man with a comm carrier on.
Apollo 8, you got some big yaw angle there. Apollo 8, Houston. Apollo 8, Houston. 8, Apollo 8, Houston.
They should have good time.
Apollo 8, Apollo 8, Houston. Apollo 8, Houston.